Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Our paradigm shifter today is helping you shift your paradigms with a very ancient technique that he's brought into today. Welcome to the show, Robert Bates, and fun with Qigong.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and who are you anyway?
Well, I'm a guy that lives out in the countryside. People come to me for Qigong practices and to get healing work on the table. I am a chiropractor, graduated in 1990, been practicing pretty much ever since. It's a very small practice. I spend an hour with each person. For 20 years, I taught Qigong, which we'll be talking about shortly, in regular classes every week, several classes per week. Right now, I'm on a sabbatical from classes, but I still teach individuals and my healing clients. Mm-hmm. I've been studying Qigong intensely for about 25 years.
Wow.
As well as other modalities, such as lymph drainage therapy, brain therapy, and several other fun things.
Well, having had a lot of experience with various kinds of healing, I find the combination that you've got, one of the things I love, it always brings a terrific amount of energy through, which is what we all sort of look for. But
yeah.
You're really quite adept at this kind of thing. I don't want you to get arrogant, you know.
I don't, because when I start feeling arrogant, somebody comes through the door that humbles me.
It's called life, isn't it?
It is called life. Yeah. Always bringing back to balance, equilibrium.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was hearing about that, too, from somebody who was teaching Qigong online. I like to watch the YouTubes, which I think you advised me to do at some point. But anyway, he was saying everything has to have a balance, even love and hate. And that really made me think a lot, you know. He's not encouraging us to pile up hate, but he said, what happened is he made me feel the awareness of the fact that we do have difficult feelings sometimes and they can flow through and be rebalanced, right?
Everybody has all of the feelings.
Yeah.
And trying to suppress them doesn't make it better, it makes it worse because they just burrow in and cause problems in your body. Or in your mind, or in your life, or your relationships. So part of living a healthy life is having the emotions move through and clearing them out. There are better ways to do that and ways that are maybe not as good.
Well, so when you were talking about lymph drainage, for example, does Qigong, you said the emotion, moving it through even in the lymph, what I mean is that's a whole other system of distribution, isn't it, than energy?
There are many different systems of energetic and fluid and structural and spiritual distribution through the body, and the lymph is one of the most important ones. So I started studying lymph drainage therapy in 2001, and I've been studying it a lot over the years. I've taken many, many seminars in it, and I'm beginning to teach it as well. And I found that the lymph, which is the fluids flowing through your body that clean your cells, has a whole lot to do with what people talk about being qi or energy.
Oh.
That when you do qigong or tai chi, one of the main things that you're doing is you're getting the lymph to flow better.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Well, actually,
so we're bringing
it makes sense.
The past and the present together into the future with that, and the east and the west. Science and ancient knowledge all together.
So when we're talking about paradigm shifting, it is ancient knowledge, a lot of this, isn't it? What about the lymph? Is that a new aspect of it, or is that also ancient knowledge?
The lymph is new, new understandings. It's more of a scientific understanding that's been slowly building over the last few decades in the West. And the Qigong is the self-healing movements and breathing and meditation and massage from China that's been in continual development for thousands of years.
Mm.
And so it's incredibly refined practices, along with all this new knowledge that we're discovering about the lymph. And so the lymph is, it's like the fluid in your cells that makes everything sparkle. It leaves your cells, it goes into these vessels, which are lymph vessels. It's transformed in the lymph nodes, and then that transformed fluid is put into the heart. and spread throughout the body. So my teacher, Bruno Chickley, says that the lymph nodes are where unself becomes self.
Oh, wow. What a great thing to say, hey?
Yeah. It's where transformation happens. So when you're doing these slow Qigong movements, which you can find lots of them on YouTube, you can find me too, you are increasing that lymph flow by 5 or 10 times, maybe even more.
So by increasing you're actually transforming, you're finding your higher purpose, is that it?
Yeah, you become more present, you become more yourself, you're able to listen to nature, you're able to listen to higher nature a lot better, you're more grounded, your breath is easier, your organs work better. Lots of great things happen, and you don't get sick, at least not very often.
How long have you been actually doing your own Qigong? Like, have you done it for 25 years, or have you just been picking it up bit by bit?
Oh, gosh. 25 years ago, I dedicated myself to studying Qigong. I had been searching for some way to have more energy in my life, and I was just kind of tuckered from college and working in the summers and just life and city traffic and everything that makes you tired. Bad diet too, which I've also improved greatly. And I was into martial arts back then, and I was reading these kung fu magazines, and they kept talking about the qi and the qigong and where it's stored, and I just got really interested in it, started exploring it, and I explored it intensely for the last 25 years and practice it every day. I'll miss a day occasionally, but basically every day.
But it is a daily practice, like meditation. It's a meditation, is it not?
It's a meditation with movement. Actually, I can tell you, it's got 5 things that you got to have.
All right.
So I have a mnemonic for it too. But things are, you're working on your structure.
Okay.
You're working on your movement principles, moving well. You're working on your breathing and how you breathe. You're working with energy flow and with your mind or consciousness. So those are the 5 things. My mnemonic is, some monkeys bathe every morning. Some monkeys bathe every morning. Some is structure. Monkeys is movement. Bathe is breathe. Every is energy flow. And morning is mind or consciousness or awareness.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Wow.
So you do what Qigong is doing all 5 of those at the same time in a way that brings you into more alignment. That's what Qigong is. That's my own kind of take on it, but I think it's right.
So it's really interesting because I had they thought it was a TIA and then they said it wasn't, but I had a little brain thing at some point. So of course, as soon as I felt better, I wanted to come see you, and you said, I'll see you in a couple of weeks because I'm going on a brain conference, right? And I went, hot diggity, that's perfect timing. can you talk a little bit about, for example, the brain? And I don't know if we want to talk about brains and fluids or that sort of thing, but actually healing the brain with Qigong, a little bit of that. Can you talk about that?
There are different directions we could go for that with that, but let's talk about brains and fluids.
Okay, just one second, because when I said to you I had this TIA or whatever they called it, you said it's not your brain, it's your kidneys, and I haven't forgotten that. So in your conversation, don't mean to interrupt you, let's include that as well, that kind of thinking.
I have to remember back to the situation, why I said that. There's a strong connection between the brain and the kidneys in the understanding of Chinese medicine and Qigong. If the kidneys are weak, they don't store energy well, and they don't support the function of the brain well. And it's easy for fluids and energy to get stuck in the brain, creating pressure. You have pressure in the brain from all of that fluid, and it starts getting hot, and it's very uncomfortable. It can cause all kinds of symptoms and problems. So making sure that you're breathing deeply into your abdomen and into your kidneys and relaxing downward in your body rather than tensing upward is going to help your brain function. Just doing that will help your brain function.
Well, thank you for that. So let's go back into what you were going to talk about, which was lymph and the brain.
Well, there is lymph flowing out of the brain, which helps clear the brain cells. A lot of it appears goes into the blood vessels. And so if you have certain brain problems like multiple sclerosis,
okay,
and you're having trouble walking, a lot of times it's just a congested brain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you can get the fluid flowing better out of the brain, out of the veins, out of the lymph, and out of the cerebral spinal fluid, and you get that happening, then a lot of times the symptoms of MS get a lot better.
Wow. So people would say it's a miracle, and what you're saying, it isn't a miracle as much as it's physiology and flow, right?
Yeah, it's a miracle as much as physiology is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that all healing is flow, so all miracles are better flow.
Hmm.
That's what healing is. Healing is an improved flow. Something that's stuck, or something that's dirty, or something that's in excess starts flowing better, and healing happens.
That's actually really good to know. And actually, I like to say to people that Qigong is an easy... It's kind of easy to pick up a routine that's very effective, isn't it? It's not like rocket science in a way.
Some of it's rocket science, but you don't have to start there, and you don't even have to finish there.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can do really simple, basic stuff that makes a huge difference.
Hmm.
I have a set called Super Gentle Qigong. I put it on YouTube.
Okay.
It's spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G, Super Gentle Qigong. And it's basically doable by anybody who's conscious.
Hmm.
It's gentle, it's light, it's slow. It's got 8+1 movements. Really good place to start and start getting the idea of what you can do with Qigong. I teach it to people who are really tired or just had surgery, or maybe they have Lyme's disease, or they're in their 80s and they just don't want to do anything vigorous.
Why Lyme's disease? Is that because it's bacterial, or is it bacterial or viral?
It's because people are tired.
Mm.
If you're really tired and you can't even stand up very long, it's pretty tough to do a standing Qigong practice or a moving Qigong practice.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has something. That's the way I see it. We're all in this together, learning about health and presence and disease and consciousness. And some people have this, some people have that. Whatever we label it, there's got to be ways to move through it.
Okay, so let's go back. I asked about Lyme's disease because I thought people find it so debilitating and for such a long period of time. And my question to you is more like, does it get into our system and then clog it? Is that what's wrong? And that's why the flowing would help a lot? People are very afraid of Lyme's disease, aren't they?
Yeah, and it would get in there and clog things, and we want to unclog. We want to get that flow back.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of the 3-hour rule, or
okay,
the 3-hour practice. If you're really stuck somewhere in your life with a health issue or a life issue, and you can do 3 hours of Qigong every day, you probably have a breakthrough.
Wow. Didn't they used to do it in China, like if people had severe cancer or whatever? Didn't they used to put them through eight hours of Qigong?
Yeah, they had a hospital over there, and you'd have some diagnosis and you'd go to this Qigong hospital. You'd be put with a group of people who have something similar to you, mm-hmm. and you do 8 hours of Qigong a day.
Wow.
The person leading your group is someone that already been through the process and got healed.
So many of those people got healed, did they?
Yeah, they actually did studies, mm-hmm. statistical studies of how many people were healed. And trying to remember the name of the book where that was in. Something like 101 Miracles of Healing.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
Well, let's jump back into the lymphatics in the brain, because the question I have right now is, what about mental health? What about Alzheimer's? What about things that we attribute to a brain dysfunction?
I think a lot of it is because we're not flowing well, and we're not grounded, and we're not rooted. I look out there, and I see how, especially in our Western culture, we overuse our brain. So we forget about our legs.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about our feet. We forget about our back. We forget about our breathing. So we put so much energy in the head, and then it's stuck all the time.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with people with mental health issues?
Not too much.
Mm-hmm. But aging, you've worked with a lot of people that are getting older, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's getting older, but you know what I'm saying? It's like talked about somebody in their 80s. Has it kind of invigorated their own brain capacity?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. The other thing about brain capacity that we know is to keep doing creative things as you get older,
mm-hmm.
and keep learning new things that are, you know, maybe not so familiar to you, new languages, new hobbies, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Take up painting.
Keep studying. Painting, yeah, I hear that that's really good. So what about memory itself? Is memory a matter of being clogged, or is it just a dissipating physiological possibility?
Most people think that the hippocampus goes first when the memory starts declining.
Okay.
So if you can keep the hippocampus, which is a pair of structures in the brain, keep them happy, you know, have the fluid flowing through them, then they don't start drying up. They don't start congealing and congesting and condensing. And so your short-term memory stays strong.
How do you take care of that? Do you have special exercises for that, or is it just Qigong, like you just keep the flow going?
Well, there's all kinds of different Qigong things you can do for any part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
One of them that you could do that's easy and you could do it right now is you can massage your ears.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Yeah, massage your ears. It stimulates the blood flow in your brain.
Wow. It's just all over your ear, or just the top part, or what?
Just start at the top and work all the way down and feel any tender spots. Spend a little more time there.
Mm-hmm.
Go down and pull on the earlobe. The ear is a homunculus.
Now that's a fancy word, Robert. What does homunculus mean?
It means little man.
Oh, really? So it's like a whole replication of the person?
It's a whole replication of the body. It's a reflexology point area.
Oh.
So massaging the ear helps the whole body. Some acupuncturists just do acupuncture in the ear. Or on the ear.
Well, I guess I've heard of that, too.
Yeah. So you can do that yourself. You can just go in and massage the tender spots and massage the whole thing.
Hmm.
It'll help your whole body, and it'll help blood flow. And right inside, right medial to the ears, are the hippocampuses.
Like inside the ear or beside the ear?
In the brain, just a little bit above the ear and internal to it.
Okay.
That's where they are.
Oh, okay.
They look kind of like ram's horns or cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
They're kind of twisted.
Okay.
Curled. There's all kinds of Qigong things for helping the brain stay healthy and keeping the fluid flowing, keeping the chi flowing. There's tapping the brain, like okay. just tapping all over your head.
Okay.
Simple things like that.
Yeah. And you also have a whole bunch of different pieces on insomnia, which also has to do with the brain. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. The insomnia qigong is easy to do, and it's only five parts to it. And I've had incredible success with it. Lots of people have who do it, who've done it, have gotten way better sleep.
Wow.
I just was reading a book about chronic pain by a former spinal surgeon, and he was saying that getting enough sleep is one of the main things that you need to do if you have a chronic disease or you're in chronic pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I hurt my shoulder a few years ago, and that was painful, but the worst part was it kept waking me up all night long.
Hmm.
Not getting sleep was worse than the pain of the shoulder.
So they're saying that the sleep can actually reduce the amount of pain you might have experienced?
Yeah, absolutely, and it heals faster.
Wow.
Oh, so the Insomnia Qigong's on my website.
Mm-hmm. Which
it's
is www.funwithqigong.com. I like the fun part.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's not too serious. Whenever I get too serious in my practice, it starts falling apart. Because it tenses up.
So I want to say, and I'm paying attention to that, but I also am looking at this little list I have. And one of the things on the list is fibromyalgia. There are so many people these days who are complaining about those kind of chronic conditions like fibromyalgia and like chronic fatigue, right?
Oh, yeah. There's so many things like that.
What do you think they come from?
Just carrying too much for too long.
Carrying too much for too long.
Stress, mm-hmm. food, activity, not enough sleep, too much noise, not paying attention to your body's need to rest and relax and recover. So Qigong is like a easy way to just kind of slow down, breathe, let go. Let things move in your body. Forget about what's going on in the outside world. And start rebuilding your organ chi, rebuilding okay. your organ strength.
And talk about organ strength, because I think that's also very interesting. What I was watching something or another, and they were talking about how that whole kind of lining that holds all the major gastrointestinal organs, that we move a lot just to keep that vital. Does that make sense?
Are you talking about the mesentery?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I couldn't remember the name of it. It's not because I don't have any memory, but because I don't know if I paid it. But they were showing this.
Studied anatomy in depth.
Exactly. But the way they talked about that, I thought we should pay attention to those kinds of things too, because we ignore parts of our body. And from what I understand, Qigong activates that energy flow through all those to rejuvenate, right?
Yeah, it works with all of the connective tissues and the fascial tissues. And there's all these kind of turns and twists and bends and things that you do in Qigong as you get into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like several levels of Qigong working. And the basic level is like feeling the energy like a magnet and just slowing down your breath and letting your lymph flow. And then there's all these other levels of movement and strengthening and stretching and that kind of thing. And a huge part of it is working with like the mesentery and they're called ligaments that connect the organs to it.
Oh, okay. But that's very subtle. Would we know we were doing it? What I mean is, would we learn to experience their relationship to feeling good?
Yeah, with practice. Always comes back to practice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you sort of wake up to more and more sensitivity to various organs, hey?
Yeah, you learn. Mm-hmm. You learn how to notice and sense different things. And you wake up and go, wow, my liver's tight today. You do some qigong and you loosen it up. Or my heart feels tight today. What's going on? And maybe you do some breathing or some meditating or some slow walking. And you change it.
And there's so much breast cancer these days, and reading something that it's you talk about that, because there's a lot. There's something about preventive for that, isn't there?
Well, anything that isn't flowing has a higher tendency to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So breasts are locked up in bras and clothing, which compresses the lymph and the blood and the cells. So there's just the more likely of things backing up, and the water in the fish tank isn't clean.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever that's true, there's more likely that there's going to be problems. So I think that what needs to happen is a lot more movement.
So if somebody has breast cancer or has had a mastectomy or something and is in recovery, Qigong is a good thing to do then too, as well, is it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had worked with a few women in that situation, and the Qigong always helps. There are Qigong movements you can do to keep the breasts healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Qigong movements you can do after a diagnosis of cancer to help the process of clearing them out and getting the flow going.
And it helps with the emotions.
Even just shaking. Oh, yeah. There's emotional healing you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. There's just so much, Veronica.
I know. And I think what's really recently I fell and I could barely walk on my right leg. And it was interesting because I just was laid up and in pain. But then I started to do Qigong. And I found the energy just really buzzing through my body. And I went, whoa, phew. Thank heaven. It healed a lot faster, right?
It heals a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's
it's
the thing.
Pretty exciting stuff, actually. And it's ancient, ancient, ancient. Talk about a little bit about the Chikli Institute. Did they let you use, or did they encourage you to add your Qigong to the studies you were doing there?
Well, we're not doing any Qigong there yet.
Okay.
They're aware of it. And Dr. Bruno Chikli has studied Qigong also.
Oh.
So this is something separate. I mix and match. What I learn from my studies of the lymph and the brain and the organs and everything just supports what I learn and what I know from the Qigong world. It just makes it stronger.
So it's like the scientific backup for the Tao, eh?
Well, some of the languaging coming out of China, where Qigong originated, is hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're raised in the West and speaking English and in a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I practice and learn some of the Western stuff, the physiology, for instance, all of a sudden that poetic phrase from Qigong makes sense. And then I can take it into experience. Oh, that's what they mean about the liver doing this or that, liver fire rising. Oh, I get it. So Qigong is really about experiencing, stepping into the flow with your canoe and enjoying a beautiful ride down the river.
And so that those of us who, for example, if you're getting all kinds of stress or you have a lot of anger in your liver or something, that's all part of the same thing. Eh? That's just getting congested in the flow and then moving your energy to move your emotions. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do
move a lot of emotions.
Yeah, so what does the kidney handle?
Oh, what does the kidney do?
Yeah, is that, what kind of emotions get stuffed into the kidneys?
Fear is traditionally said to be stuck in the kidneys. I find that kidneys are low in energy, people are tired.
Okay.
People are fatigued. People don't feel very robust. Very sensitive to any outside force.
Okay.
And so strengthening the kidney chi, which is different than strengthening the kidneys, like in a Western stance standpoint.
Right.
Strengthening the kidney chi builds your ability to stand your ground and feel strong and be able to go out and do your work in the world, whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, everybody's got it.
So what about, that's interesting, actually.
I taught you that kidney qigong with the from the wild goose.
Yes, and I still fall back on that sometimes. I really love the balancing section of it. You know, it's wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. But also, what about the pancreas? We have so many diabetics in this culture of ours, or hypoglycemic people and so on. What do we hold in the pancreas?
The pancreas is part of the spleen orb.
Okay.
So that's how they talk about it in the five element theory.
Okay.
And it has a lot to do with the sweetness in life.
Okay.
And it has a lot to do with worry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the more you worry, the more problems you have with your stomach, pancreas, spleen.
And I also was told, but in a different system, that the spleen is the strongest area for empathy. So sometimes it gets caught up in empathy in a serious way. Do you know anything about that, or is that news? Or
that's news. I could probably do something with it, but I haven't heard that.
It's just sort of interesting, eh? You know,
if your empathy is worrying about other people.
Well, that's it. If you do empathize with people, you would worry, right? And what's one of the other things that's going on these days besides mental health, which I keep wanting to go back to because it's such a big issue these days, and our foods, but also prostate. Prostate is really wreaking havoc on a lot of people's lives these days, usually men, of course.
Usually in men, yes.
Is it about power? What is it about?
It's all the same thing. It's something gets stuck. Mm-hmm. There's congestion. There's a buildup of unhealthy energy or poor flow, and some disease state comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting movement in the prostate area. So one of the things in Qigong is you actually do these little Kegel-type movements.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, little pumping movements. It's called the lower gate.
All right.
The upper gate is when the tip of the tongue touches the roof of the mouth. The lower gate is when you slightly wink down below.
Oh, okay.
But you can get movement and you can get opening. There's some other things too, but if that area has blood and lymph and chi and movement flowing through it, it's far less likely to collect cancer or any other problem.
That's...
And if you have that and you start moving it through it, it's far more likely to heal it.
Do you ever teach that stuff? Because I think that – I guess what I'm really interested in is the way the whole national, you know, the whole country sort of suffers from certain illnesses. You know, I don't mean every single person. I mean a high proportion of people. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I know. It's a huge problem.
Yeah. And well, it's like, what is the collective thought here? What is the collective emotion is kind of interesting to me.
People believe that medicine will heal them. People believe, I don't know. I look at it a lot. I just think that a lot of people don't have personal practices.
Mm-hmm. They feel kind of victimized to whatever's going on. Is that right?
Yeah, or they just don't want to pay attention to it, or our eating isn't that great in this culture, in our country right now.
I know. I keep talking to people.
We sit a lot. That's not going to be good for your prostate.
Yeah, do you think that really congests it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about lungs and so on? Because you've got a lot of toxicity out there, although I think it's getting better.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to ask you, what's the main thing about breathing? What's the most important thing you need to know? What would you say?
To fill the lungs entirely and do an exchange of breath so you detox.
And that's not what I would say.
Okay, what would you say?
Well, the most important thing is to have a soft belly and to breathe with your diaphragm.
Soft belly and breathe with your diaphragm. Okay, good. I like that.
So if your belly's soft, then your diaphragm muscle can go down when you inhale.
Okay.
When it goes down, it pulls air into the lungs effortlessly.
Okay.
And also when it goes down, because the belly's soft, it massages all of the organs in the abdomen.
Ah, of course, eh?
Yeah. That's one of the things Qigong teaches, and I've been teaching a long time, and I find that almost nobody knows. And it's the most basic thing, so I wish we would learn it when we were kids.
Well, it's really remarkable how when you do settle into a really deep breathing exercise, all kinds of emotions and fears, everything can kind of disappear, right?
Yeah, it moves right through. Oh, here's a great experiment to do.
Okay.
If you want to feel anxious, tighten your belly and breathe into your chest 5 times.
Oh, really? Okay, just a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. So what you've done is you've compressed your heart instead of allowing your heart to expand.
Oh.
So they say that, and this is true, that anxiety is in the heart. Mostly it's in the heart because we're breathing into the heart instead of into the belly.
Oh.
We're tightening our diaphragm, tightening our belly, expanding our chest a little bit, but mostly just compressing our lungs and our heart.
That's really
interesting. A great way to create anxiety.
Yeah. Well, what happened to me when I just did that right now was my legs got very uncomfortable and my arms got very uncomfortable. Is that unusual? But that's the way mine went anyway.
Well, you were breathing really fast too.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was supposed to. No.
Well, I didn't give you real explicit instructions.
We didn't time it. Well, anyway, I think that's really interesting to evoke or to set up a different kind of feeling in the body. Because I did get anxious, even though I breathed fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, even just that little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't
take much. So people have anxiety disorders. People have panic attacks. People can't get their breath. All kinds of things with their lungs, high blood pressure stuff. Maybe they just need to breathe a little different.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's true, actually, because how we hold our bodies, you know, we're taught to have a flat belly, for example,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's exactly opposite of how we should do it.
Yeah, so we have to make it fashionable to have a nice soft belly, right?
That's right, yeah.
Cause it just
urban-esque.
Yeah, because it just isn't, is it? What else can I look at here? I've got so many things. Oh, yeah, healing sounds. We haven't gotten into that. I keep wanting to go back into the brain. But anyway, let's do some healing sounds if we can.
We've covered so much. I mean, whatever you want.
No, I really like people to realize that they can access or they can work with their own organs. You know, I really think that's a pretty interesting practical tool, don't you?
Yeah, so what I recommend is to get an anatomy book or go to Google Images and look and see what the organ actually looks like.
Okay.
And then visualize it as you breathe into it and feel what it feels like. How does that feel?
Mm.
Is it full? Is it tight? Is it empty? Is it scared? Is it mad? Does it need something?
Mm. So you're setting up a communication with it, right?
Yeah, why not?
No,
who said we can't communicate with our organs, and who said they can't talk to us?
Yeah, exactly. And talk a bit. I love that exercise. That's a wonderful exercise. And what about the neck? Can you talk about the neck? Because a lot of people complain these days about neck problems, and many people have thyroid problems.
Well, the neck is the superhighway between the brain and the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of nerves going through the neck to the rest of the body. We tense the neck and we compress the nerves and the blood vessels. It's it's going to affect our brain, not going to have enough blood, or that it's going to get stuck up there. And it's going to affect the oxygenation of the brain. The brain takes like 20% up to 25% of the body's oxygen.
Oh, wow.
If our neck is tense, then it's not going to get enough oxygen. And that also leads to death of brain cells. Over time, enough of those, and we start getting dementias and things. So what tenses the neck?
I think, well, you want my theory here, which is that I think a lot of times it's so much information from all the experiences we're having, and it, there's a real glut trying to get through that little narrow passageway.
So watch people who have tense necks and watch them breathe. They're breathing above their diaphragm. In almost every case. They're not breathing into their belly and letting their energy and troubles and weight and tension sink down their body into the earth. So we need to root into the earth, feel safe like a tree, and roots in the earth, breathe deeply and easily with our diaphragm, and then our neck can start relaxing. Another thing that Qigong says tenses the neck, and I find this to be true too, is using willpower all the time to get things done.
You think that's hard on us?
It's terrible.
Okay.
Willpower is supposed to be an emergency thing. It's what you use when you break the glass to, you know, get the fire extinguisher. It's not supposed to be what we use every day. So what it does...
But we're taught to do that every day. You know that?
Well, that could be. We need to learn some new things.
Exactly. So explain away, because I really like this. This is great.
And so when you're tired, you tend to slump forward.
Right.
If you don't want to slump forward, you will use willpower to straighten yourself up. That creates tension, creates physical tension. You do that long enough, and your neck starts getting harder and harder. What happens when you use willpower is you drain your store of chi in your kidneys. Now, the kidneys, when they're in a good, strong state, they send energy up the spine to keep the head upright and to support the brain, like a geyser or like a fountain.
So this will happen without you doing it. Is that right?
It's easy to happen. It's easy to do. So it's you might have to do a little bit, but just a tiny bit. But basically, the kidneys have no trouble keeping you upright. Kidneys get tired, you start slumping. It's like, oh, no, I got to get this paper done. Oh, no, I got to do all these 14 emails. Oh, no, I got to cook dinner. You know, whatever it is. You use willpower, that drains the kidneys further. So they have even less energy to support you.
Oh, you know what? That's really interesting, isn't it? I have never known that before.
Yeah, so I've seen that a lot in my practice. It's really common.
Well, you see that a lot out in the normal world, too, people slumping like mad or complaining about fatigue, you know. But you're saying basically it's the breathing that you can do to rejuvenate your kidneys and other parts, right?
Yeah, breathing, relaxing is something that's easy to do if your shoulders have good flexibility. Is just rub your hands till they're warm, and then rub your palms up and down your kidneys.
Oh.
They're pretty far up there. Make sure you get up into the rib cage.
And you just rub your behind your kidneys there on your back?
Yeah. Start with 25 and work up to 100. Over a few weeks. There was a workshop I went to one time, and this teacher said she taught wild goose Qigong. Well, she was in China one time. She says, whenever I see someone who's really old and really healthy, I ask them what their secret is. She saw this guy in his 90s, and he just looked really, really bright and healthy, upright. Well, what is your secret for health? He says, I rub my kidneys 300 times a day.
300 times a day. Wow.
Yeah. So I say work up to at least 100.
Wow. Well, so that
and you can go to my insomnia Qigong instruction on my website, and it will also do that for you because it's about the kidneys.
And you have four or five insomnia level, don't you, right there?
It's I think four videos. There's short videos and they're teaching videos, 5-minute videos. And I've taught quite a few people this little set, and it really works.
Oh wow!
Plus, it strengthens your kidneys.
Wow, this is really exciting, actually. I've spent most of my life being quite insomniac, and I did not talk to you about this years ago, which I should have done, right?
It comes up when it comes up.
Yeah, no, it's really very, I guess it's very invigorating because you're saying the rejuvenating quality comes through restoring the freedom to your organs to not be storing your old anxieties just through the flow, right?
Yes.
Sounds easy peasy, doesn't it?
All you got to do is practice.
And so actually, if we jump around to the arms and legs, et cetera, they can also be freed, can they not?
Yes. And the arms and legs, of course, are where the meridians are in
okay.
Chinese medicine. So helping them helps the organs. Opening the joints helps the organs, helps the blood flow.
Can the joints heal themselves? You know, people are getting their hips done and their knees done and all that. Can the joints heal themselves? Regrow? Can they re-inspire them?
They can regrow. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of, a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But you can change what your joints are doing. There's so much you can do for your joints. There's lots of different movements.
I think that's really important because all this getting them, putting plastic ones in or whatever they're made of, you know, I feel kind of uncomfortable about that for people.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is we get stiff over time and we start utilizing other parts of our body to move, so that stiff part gets even stiffer. Another thing is we don't release our emotions.
Okay.
I think a lot of joint problems come from simultaneously reaching for something and pulling back at the same time.
Oh, that makes sense, eh?
Yeah. So we create a creak, create a tension there.
Like a creaking sound in your body?
Yeah, like it needs oil.
But it probably does. The other thing is that as people get older, many people lose their balance, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Famous study about 20 years ago, and I think there's been other studies since then, where they took some senior citizens, and some of them they gave like aerobics, and some of them I think weightlifting or something, and they did different things. But one group they taught Tai Chi, and Tai Chi is like a moving Qigong. And after 10 weeks of Tai Chi, they found that those people's that were in the Tai Chi group had balance, they fell 47% times less, 47% less.
Wow.
As many times.
Wow.
Even 6 months later when they came back and rechecked.
Hmm.
So learning awareness of your body in space and rooting and stepping practices is all part of Qigong. And it's really important.
Yeah, it's
really important. One of the things that it does is it roots your body, meaning that tension in your brain or your throat, your heart, your belly, it has a place to relax into. Something bigger than you called the earth.
Mm-hmm. And the atmosphere.
Root in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us. No, I think this is really, really helpful and very exciting. One final question I want to ask you before we run out of time entirely is that the belly is supposed to be the second brain, or is it the first brain? Can you talk just a little bit about that as well?
I think the whole body is a brain.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And that we want to use all of our intelligence, not just a portion of it, to go through life. So being aware of your belly, being aware of your legs, being aware of your toes, being aware of your kidneys. All of these parts of us have knowledge to share. They have awareness, they have personality, they have information. And when they're working together, I think that we're just more in tune with ourselves and the world and nature and our next step. We're more in flow.
We're like an amazing instrument, aren't we? Vibrational.
We really
instrument.
Are. Do we want to just be one little violin wailing away in the corner, or do we want to be the whole symphony?
Let's be the orchestra.
Yeah, let's be the orchestra.
Well, thank you, Robert Bates. I know your work is absolutely amazing, and I know people will have gained a lot if they go into Fun with Qigong, right? And all of your videos that are there. Are they up on YouTube as well?
Yeah, I have videos on YouTube, and I have articles on my website.
Good.
Mostly right now I'm doing a personal practice in terms of Qigong, but I will get back to teaching here at some point.
I want that.
Yeah.
I want that for me. But I thank you so much for being a paradigm shifter, and this is a wonderful, ancient but very modern practice, and I'm grateful
to you.
Yes,
it's both.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.